Blog Talk Radio.
Praise the Lord, everybody. Hallelujah. This is Apostle Dr. Deborah Deans with the End Time Men and Women of War Global Ministries. I am so delighted on tonight that you on our radio broadcast and those that's in that are in radio land, that you've chosen to worship with us on today. We're here tonight on this Friday, Sabbath day, to study the Word of God. We just want you to just fit right in, just come right on in everyone, and we're going to study and discuss it together. I am Apostle Dr. Deborah Deans, and we're going to get ready to call our Bible class to order on this evening. We're going to have a very short devotion part of the service to get things in God's hand, in the Holy Ghost's hand, and we're going to go from there. We're going to have a song, a scripture, and a prayer. Amen. God bless.
I'm coming to your room.
To worship, and I thank and praise God. Our scripture reading will be coming from Psalms 141. Lord, I cry unto thee, make haste unto me, give ear unto my voice when I cry unto thee. Let my prayer be set forth before thee as incense, and the lifting up of my hands as the evening sacrifice. Set a watch, O Lord, before my mouth. Keep the door of my lips. Incline not my heart to any evil thing, to practice wickedness. Work with me in that work iniquity, and let me not eat of their dainties. Let the righteous smite me, it shall be a kindness, and let him reprove me, it shall be an excellent oil, which shall not break my head. For yet my prayers also shall be in the calamity, when their judges are overthrown in stony places, they shall hear my words, for they are sweet. Our bones are scattered at the grave's mouth, as when one cleaveth wood upon the earth. But my eyes are unto thee, O God, the Lord. In thee is my trust. Lead not my soul destitute. I have just read you from Psalms 141 from the first verse down to the eighth verse. May God richly add a blessing to the readers, the hearers, but most of all, the doers of his most holy word. Lord, we come on this evening, Father, humbly before your throne of grace tonight, Lord, asking you now to forgive us for every known and unknown sin, Lord, that we've committed against you in the mighty name of Jesus. Lord, if we've offended anyone, if we've caused anyone to stumble, if we've hurt anyone, Lord, we ask your forgiveness tonight in the name of Jesus. We ask you on tonight to search our hearts, our minds, and our spirit. If there is anything, Father, in there that should not be, Lord, we ask you to remove it right now in the name of Jesus. We ask you tonight, Father, to create in us a clean heart, to renew in us a right spirit tonight, and a sound mind in the name of Jesus. Lord, we come right now asking you tonight to bind up the strong man on this evening, Father. I ask you tonight, Lord, to bind up the strong man tonight in the mighty name of Jesus. We're asking you on tonight, Lord, to bind the strong man, every evil and negative thing, Lord, we ask you to bind it. Every wicked thing or demonic thing, we ask you to bind it on tonight. In the name of Jesus, we ask you, Father, in the name of Jesus, to fight against them that fight against us. In the name Ecolia Konosama. In the name of Jesus, now, Lord, I'm coming tonight to ask you to cover and bless our Bible class on tonight. In the name of Jesus, I'm asking you to let Deborah decrease 100%, that the Holy Spirit may increase 100%. In the name of Jesus, and teach your women on tonight. In the name of Ecolias, in the name of Jesus, I'm asking you, Lord, to let me lay my will down on tonight. Let the Holy Ghost, the Holy Spirit of God, take over and take control on tonight in the name of Jesus. Father, I'm asking you to change the atmosphere on our radio broadcast on tonight. Change it, Lord. Change it, Father. Change this atmosphere on tonight. You take over, Lord. You take over, Holy Ghost. Take over and take control on tonight. And we ask all these things in Jesus' name and for your glory. Amen and amen and amen. I'm just so excited about the word of God on tonight. I am excited. We have now gone into the Sabbath, and today is the Sabbath day from sundown to tonight to sundown tomorrow. So I thank and praise God for the Sabbath, and in the name of Jesus, we're going to get ready to just break bread together. Hallelujah. The word of God. We're at the dinner table. And on tonight, we're going to just, I don't know if I went over this last Friday, but I'm going over it tonight. We're going to be talking about the principle of impartation and activation. The principle. When referring to this apostolic impartation and the prophetic activation for your calling on tonight, we want to, we just want to understand clearly what they're talking about on tonight. The impartation, the principles of the impartation and activation on tonight. We're not restricting the impartation to apostles and the activations to prophets only. It's not only to get apostles and prophets. We understand clearly that both the apostolic and the prophetic involve impartation and activation, and is not to be viewed exclusively one over another. So what I am saying here is, even if I'm an apostle or a prophet, when you're an apostle, you have four entire gifts. So you probably have the gift of the prophetic. So you don't try to overstep a prophet because you're an apostle. I don't care what title you carry. I really don't. We all have to realize that we're only servants of God. We're God's children, all of us. So it's not good to just put yourself up and put another down. Mm-mm. God's not pleased with that. So I'm saying to keep yourself humble before God and man, so you can keep that power and authority that God has given you as an apostle. You cannot overstep others because you feel like you're exclusive or you more than anybody else. I've never thought that. Mm-mm. Romans 1, chapter 1, verse 11 says, I desire to impart. That says a lot right there. I desire to impart. If there is to be a present truth, apostolic and prophetic impartation, there would be a people receptive to the impartation. Such desire would not be defined nor confined to the old mentality of haste and zeal without knowledge. We have to know and learn about the impartation and the activation, the apostolic impartation of the apostolic and the prophetic activation. We have to learn. That's why I'm teaching now, because we need to know these things. We can't, gifts come without repentance, but we need to have more knowledge. You can't have all this haste and hurry up and all this zeal without knowledge. You need knowledge to know and learn anything and for God to use you. You have to know if any man comes and asks you a question, you ought to be able to answer, give him an answer. Nor will it be characterized by the old order concept of insisting by demand of an apostle or prophet. For true impartation carries the meaning of identification. That means that that identifies, that you identify with the one receiving the impartation and the activation, and that a measure of what you have been given for and the nature of Christ may be transferred, stirred, conferred, or activated within you. So, that's impartation and activation, not evacuation, but activation. And it carries the meaning of identification. When you get an apostolic impartation or prophetic activation, it identifies who you are and the calling that God has given you and your purpose. When you have that, your purpose and the nature of Christ may be transferred, imparted, stirred, imparted, conferred, imparted, and activated within you. For this principle works much the same with the priests of the old covenant. As they laid their hands on the scapegoat, it implied identification. In another sense, when you lay hands on others for impartation and activation, it brings to mind how serious and reverent it is to be in the position to serve another in such humility through the administration in the first place. See, the priest did it in the Old Covenant, in the Old Testament. But now, it's the same. It still implies identification. When we lay our hands on you to impart some, whatever it is God wants to impart to you, and activate, it brings to mind how serious this thing is, how deep it is in God, how reverent it is to be in a position to serve another in such humility through the administration in the first place. Because this position, apostles and prophets, you have to keep yourself humble. You have to stay on your face. You have to stay praying, fasting, full of the word, full of faith, you know, acknowledging God in everything you do. You know, God knows who his prophets are. He knows who his apostles are. Everybody not apostles and everybody not prophets. We all can't be that. But whatever God intends for you to be that. Be just that. Because without God, these titles don't mean anything. Can't do anything without him. So we need him and his impartation. And we need him to impart in us whatever it is he wants us to have. Apostolic and prophetic impartation and activation is not restricted to being merely an apostle or a prophet only, like I said. But apostolic and prophetic impartation and activation is the anointing of the Lord that can come through the instrument or the instrumentation by the putting forth of hands or being in the corporate gathering of saints. And I know you all seen that if you've been ordained or people, bishops have that, you know, when you get ordained as a bishop, the other pastors are gathered around and lay hands, And even I've only done it with apostles and prophets. So, and I think when you get licensed as a pastor or you get ordained as a pastor, whatever, they do the same thing. But this is like the priest. This is like the old covenant. This is what they do. But apostolic and the prophetic impartation and activation is the anointing of the Lord that can come through the instrumentation by the putting forth of the hands or being in the corporate gathering of saints. It can come through preaching. It can come through teaching. It can come through singing. It can come through prayer. It can come through worship and so on and so on without the use of hands. It can stir. This is the importation and activation. It can stir. It can quicken. In the quietness of a devotion time, it can come. It can come when you're in a conference or a revival. We don't know. But we do know that in other words, God is saying it's good to lay hands, but you don't necessarily have to lay hands because I don't need your hands to do what I'm going to do. I don't have to use you all the time. I just do it. So, you know, we have to keep in mind all the time that God don't need our help, but you know what? It's just a blessing to be able to be used by God. It's a blessing to be able to be used by God to doing these kind of things, prophesying and the prophetic and being used in the apostolic. You don't have to be an apostle to be used apostolically. You don't have to be an apostle. You can have the apostolic anointing on your life. That's like a leadership anointing on your life. You can have the prophetic anointing on your life as well. You don't have to always be a prophet for God to use you prophetically. Because before I knew I was a prophet, I was prophesying. God was using me. Didn't know quite what was going on, but he still used me. And I thank and praise God for that. However, since the direct importation and activation of the apostolic and the prophetic dimension, we want to acknowledge chiefly the purpose and the importance thereof in direct relationship to the ministry of the apostle and the prophet. Many folks have received a new paradigm shifting in the privacy of their home. But we want to draw our attention to the significant development of the saints through the agency of and operation of first apostles and prophets. Now, let me just tell you this. Like, a lot of us, we already have the baptism of the Holy Ghost. But you don't have to be with nobody but God, the Holy Spirit, Jesus, to get filled with the baptism of the Holy Ghost. A lot of people, somebody have laid hands. I used to lay hands on people, and they'll receive it. But the whole key to that is that you have to want it, and you have to ask God for it because he is the only one who can give it to you. So you have to let God know how serious and how badly you desire to be filled with the baptism of the Holy Ghost, and he will fill you. So it's to me, it's almost the same thing because stay before God in prayer and fasting and studying your word, all of these things will be added. The gifts are coming. They're coming. And he gave some apostles and some prophets. He keeps on giving. That's Ephesians 4:11. He continues to give. Christ the head multiplies himself through his corporate body. Let me read Ephesians 4:11 on giving.
That's right.
And he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. So he studied giving. And he's not going to stop giving. Serve a God that never changed. He is the same way from the beginning of time. He's still the same God. And he's still the same way. He never changed. He continues to give ascension ministry, multiplies into one ascension ministry. Impartation. To impart means to give or share a portion of and to make known, tell, and reveal. That's what impart means. So when the apostle is getting ready to be imparted that apostolic and affirmed, when I tell you, it's a feeling that you never felt before. It was a feeling I never felt before, and it was good. It is the substance of revelation and divine transference through the Spirit. Without the aid and assistance of man's natural apprehension, it is not predicated on carnal notions or how long one has been in the ministry. It's not predicated on that. When God called you from your mother's womb, you just didn't know. And you might have knew, but he called you from your, it's not how long you've been doing this and all this kind of stuff. It's not that. Because God called who he pleased. He can get a drunk on the corner and clean him up and put his word in his heart and call him to the pastor or apostolic or whatever. It is a governmental grace that strategically releases specific degrees of special anointing in the life of another for governmental grace or kingdom advancement. So this is all about God's grace. As he strategically releases specific degrees of his anointing in our lives. It's not about us, but it's all about God. Kingdom. All about him and his kingdom. Through apostolic and prophetic impartation, the Spirit of the Lord is making known to us the infallible riches of Christ. And these riches couldn't come by any other means but the revelation of the Spirit. I'm talking about the impartation and the activation, the richness in the impartation and the activation, the apostolic impartation. Rich, the riches of Christ that could not come by no other way, no other vehicle, but through the revelation of the Spirit. It comes with the gifts and the in special anointing and the transference of the apostolic and the prophetic into the lives of the saints. For the Spirit releases through apostles a measure of what apostles are given for and for whom Christ is as the federal head of his corporate body. Because he is the head. He's the head. The same with the prophets. For there is a release into the corporate anointing to quicken and to activate the saints into the diversity of the prophetic dimension. He quickens us. When I tell you, I don't know if you ever experienced that. I experienced it last night. I was, after we got off our radio broadcast, I was still listening. No, the Spirit of the Lord told me, don't shut the computer down. And so I started saying, well, I'm going to have to listen to somebody preach the word of God. So I went from this person and that person and this person. And then, let's click on this. And I clicked on that. And it was such a quickening in my spirit, man. It was such a quickening. And so I started listening and reading and listening and reading. And, man, when God finished with me, when I tell you, whatever else I do, when the Sabbath comes, I'm going to remember the Sabbath and keep it holy. Because, and I don't want to go too much into my sermon for tomorrow, but I want you to know God got a good sermon. And he quickened my spirit, and I just, and it's been just like fire shut up in my bones, because I need to let you all know what he has revealed to me. And I will do that. I will do that. But God activates the saints into diversity of the prophetic dimension. See, the Lord came down in a cloud, and I'm talking about Moses. Now, he spoke to Moses and took of the spirit that was upon him and gave it unto the 70 elders. And it came to pass, and I'm in Numbers chapter 11, verse 25, and it came to pass that when the spirit rested upon them, they prophesied and did not stop, did not cease. I'm going to read it out of my 25, 11 and 25. And the Lord came down in a cloud and spake unto him and took of the spirit that was upon him and gave it unto the 70 elders. And it came to pass that when the spirit rested upon them, they prophesied and did not cease, I mean. And see, Moses kind of getting on Joshua. But Moses had gotten on Joshua about silencing the prophets, because he wanted to silence them. But Moses got on him and told him not to. So the Spirit of God was on Moses so heavy, God took some of that spirit and flung it over there to the elders. And when I'm telling you, when the anointing falls, when I tell you, you're going to prophesy, you're going to do something. Oh, you're going to do something. Because God's anointing is no joke. When I tell you, it's not. And I know you already know that. Now, over in 2 Kings, chapter 2, verse 9, Elijah said unto Elisha, ask what I shall do for thee before I am taken away from thee. And Elisha said, I pray thee, let a double portion of thy spirit be upon me. This, just like when the Father took some of that anointing of the spirit from Moses, it was like an importation to the elder. And just like Elijah asked Elijah for a double portion of his spirit be upon him, it's like an impartation that Elijah did to Elisha. God allowed that to happen. So when we're activating the prophetic and we're imparting the apostolic, it's an impartation. That's impartation. And this is the Old Testament we're talking about. Over in Luke chapter 10, verse 19, and when he had called unto him his 12 disciples, he gave them power against unclean spirits to cast them out and to heal all manner of sickness and all manner of diseases. That's Matthew 10:1. But he says, behold, I give you power, over in Luke 10, chapter 10, verse 19. See, God has already given us the power. We just don't use it. We have authority and power, and we do not use it. And when they had fasted and prayed and laid their hands on them, they sent them away, Acts 13:3. By importation, Paul and Barnabas thrust into international apostolic ministry. They've had to fast. Because, you know, some things don't happen unless you fast and pray. God just quickened me right there. Hallelujah. Some things you have to fast and pray for. Paul and Barnabas. Let me read this. Acts chapter 13, chapter 3. 13, chapter verse 3. Oh, yeah. Acts chapter 13. This is what they, verse 3. And now there were in the church that was at Antioch certain prophets and teachers, as Barnabas and Simeon, that was called Niger, and Lucius of Cyrene, and Mianian, which had been brought up with Herod the Tetrarch and Saul. And as they ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Ghost said, separate me, Barnabas and Saul, which is Paul, for the work whereunto I have called them. And when they had fasted and prayed and laid their hands on them, they sent them away. So these men, the other men, they fasted and prayed and laid hands on Barnabas and Saul. They imparted the apostolic, because Paul was an apostle and Barnabas was too. So this is what I'm trying to get you. Let's have the apostolic anointing on us. And I know who do, because God already showed me. And some of us have the prophetic, and some of us have both. And God want to do what he wants to do. So what I am saying, I'm teaching on this because he admonished me to. Otherwise, I would be teaching something else. But God want to do his thing. And I'm going to get right back out of his way. That's what I'm going to do. Now, impartation is a life-changing and a life-giving nature. With the anointing of activation, it is a powerful presence within those whom the Lord chooses to convey this to. It's so powerful at times that individuals who receive impartation and activation may sometimes be reminded similar of manners and movements by others as those whom they have received it from. After all, Paul did confirm to continue in the things we have learned and from whom we have learned them. And that's over in 2 Timothy verses 3 and 14. And all I'm saying is that with the anointing of activation, it's so powerful. It's powerful. Don't, because it is. When I first started, when I was young, I was in my 20s. Oh, I was about 30. When it really started dealing with me. And sometime I would go in this empty room with a chair and a pillow, and I would just sit there. I would just sit and wait and tarry and wait for the Holy Spirit to come, and he never, ever failed to come. But sometimes the anointing would be so heavy, I would get down on the floor on a pillow, and I couldn't get up. The anointing, the Spirit of God would be so heavy upon me, I couldn't get up. So I had to stay down until it released me or moved up off of me. But when I tell you, I will be on fire for the Lord. I'm telling you, it's like something you cannot explain. When you have the impartation of the apostolic and the prophetic, the activation of the prophetic, it's something that you never, ever experience. Because you're going to feel it. And like I say, I can't really explain it, but like I said, I would be so hot all over, and when I tell you this, I could not. He would not let me get up. I mean, it would be so heavy. It would not. Don't get me wrong. Don't feel bad at all. It does not feel bad. It opens up all of your understanding. But and sometimes, you know, you fall up under the anointing, and God just ministers to your mind, and oh, that stuff ain't true. That's not true. That is not true. That is such a big lie. If people don't know what they're talking about, if they have never experienced it, they shouldn't say anything. But I know I did. And this was, I was in my 20s then, and my two daughters and I had been baptized when I was a kid, but they had never been baptized. So we all three got baptized on Easter Sunday morning or after church on Easter. And so we went to this church because the church I was going to didn't have a pool. So we went to this other church that had a pool. And so when we got there, they was just filling the pool up. And when I tell you, the water was icy cold, because usually they'll fill it up the day before and let it warm up a little, get room temperature, but it was ice cold. So when I got in there, I didn't know what I was doing and saying so young, but I knew I loved God. I knew that. So when I walked down in the water with the preacher, now you know how they do. They'll pray over you and they'll say, in the Father, name of the Father. I was praying all the time, telling the Lord to change my life and change this and, Lord, do this. And so when he got ready to dip me down in that cold water, I said, Father, in the name of Jesus, I ask you to go down with me. And when I tell you, he went down with me because I wasn't at myself. You know, I wasn't at myself. So when I came up, I don't know what happened. They say I shouted, I praised God and knocked all the water out the pool. Then I don't even know how I got my clothes on. So God must have took me in the spirit, because I came out of this pool. I came out, but I wasn't at myself. I wasn't myself. I sit there for I don't know how long before I came to myself. And when I did, my God sister was right there, so I guess she put my clothes on. I don't know who did it. I know I didn't do it. If I did, I didn't remember doing it. So it's such an experience. It will blow your mind. You know, you've never, and I know some of us have experienced some things. I know we have, but some of us haven't. So, God is going to visit some of us more than others. But if you want this, if you want this, the activation and the impartation of the apostolic, you have to fast and pray. You know, you have to see God. You have to do whatever it takes for God to give you of this, because it's so very important that you have it in your life. Because I know for myself, if you're even thinking about it, God must have called you from your mother's womb. You know, and you have to always know that God knows everything. And so we just catching up. We just getting a little bit further up. And this thing right here is a birthing. It's a birthing. You're giving birth. Hallelujah. And God got so much. He know the purpose and plans that he have for your life. And the beginning is the impartation and the activation of the purpose of what he's called you to do for your destiny. You know, we want whatever purpose God has for us. We want to fulfill our purpose in life. We have to. Not that you'll be worthless, but I want to do whatever God will have me to do. I want as much as he want to give me, I want of spiritual things for his glory. I want to live so God can use me for his glory. You know, when I'm on howling, screaming, and all that kind of stuff, oh, I get over and emotional and everything else, because I know how good God has been to me and to all of us. But when it comes to the impartation and the activation, that's so important. It's so important for your life. So this is how we really become one in an appointed covenant relationship. This is also where we do more than just eat and wine. For so often many saints enjoy the fellowship of the word, but then off they go when they have eaten or full. In many instances, there is a lack of respect to the one the Lord has appointed to them. And resulting conclusion is that many break covenant with the appointed other. How? They do so by not valuing enough the process of impartation and activation. Or later, their lives fail to radiate this apostolic and prophetic dimension for many curious reasons, of course. Now, all I'm saying is I have affirmed apostles, and I have commissioned ordained prophets. I have ordained ministers, licensed preachers. But when you import or activate a prophet or impart into an apostle, and once they get what they want, they don't never look back. I got them now that just took their stuff and went. See, God has taught me better now. Oh, I love them all. I still love them. I don't care what they did to me. I ask God to forgive them for what they've done and said to me. And I've forgiven them. But my thing is, God won't even honor that thing Because years ago, if you had an ordination license or a preaching license, them preachers would call your pastor or call a church before they let you in their pulpit to preach anything. They would do that. But it's okay because before I do another, believe me, it's going to be God. Because I don't know what they're doing in the street. They don't report. They don't say anything. I have an apostle just go all over preaching all over. God is not pleased with that. He wants you to go out and preach. But you don't know where you're doing, what you're doing. Because you're not covered. I'm not covering you. This ministry is not covering you. You have to be covered when you have the apostolic calling on your life or the prophetic calling on your life, and your apostle has affirmed it and importation in you, imparted in you, and you going where some other folks said just because you call yourself an apostle. I'm telling you, this is how I look at it. These titles that we hold, and they're not free. They don't come free. We go through a lot for them. But there is no power in the title. The power is in the blood. The power is in the name of Jesus. The power is in Jesus. See, just because we got the title, don't make that God called us and ordained us. And even if he did, he could fire us when he get ready. When he get ready, he can. So we have to be so very careful when it comes to the things of God. I'm learning every day. I'm learning. I study every day. I pray. I fast every day. And God is teaching me more and more and more. He's opening up my understanding more and more and more. And the more and closer I get to God, when I tell you, he just fills me up with the Spirit. Import things into me. Still doing it. Never change. Never change. So, as a result, conclusion of many breaking covenant with their leaders or whoever, God will break covenant with them. He'll do that. They have to be careful. Now, if you were to ask me again just how anointed and powerful impartation ministry really is, it is very important. Which is, all we have to do is ask the prophet Elisha, because he got his double portion. He sure did. And it says over in 2 Kings 13:21, and it came to pass, as they were burying a man, that behold, they spied a band of men, and they cast the man into the sepulchre grave of Elisha. And when the man was let down and touched the bones of Elisha, he revived and stood up on his feet. Now, this man had to be so anointed. This prophet had to be. He was a prophet. Was so anointed. When they messed around and was burying a man and put the man over to on top of Elisha. And Elisha was dead already. And the bones, his bones resurrected this man. The man stood up on his feet. That's how anointed Elisha was. That's how anointed he was. Here we see the result of a prophet who is in his death brought life to another man. I'm telling you, tore your proof that the importation from Elijah to Elisha, the double portion, and inheritance from the mantle placed upon him is clearly evident, and that the substance and tangibility of the spirit of had not dissipated to the initial death of Elisha. So those bones still had the spirit on them. He still had the spirit of God on him, even in the grave. Hallelujah. Consider how powerful the transfer of the anointing was from Elijah to Elisha. Consider, if you will, just how powerful the anointing of importation is in the life of those who receive. It can be the same way. It can be the same way, because God never changes. But you only get what you put in. You only get out of it what you put in. If you don't never fast and pray, you just stay weak. If you don't never study and stuff, even after the importation and the activation, if you don't do what you're supposed to do, you're not going to have any power. But you got to fast, pray, study, and all other stuff for God. But it's so much more to the importation and the activation. So much more. I want to keep going with it because I want you all to know, because about time we finish, it's going to be imparted into you. So I already know that, because I know. It's why God already gave it to me to teach. So I'm thanking and praising God. I'm not going to hold you too much longer because it's already 8 o'clock, I think, but 7 o'clock and 8 o'clock. But I'm just thanking God, because God know who has the apostolic and who has the over their lives and the prophetic over their lives. And he needs to activate. He needs to import, just like Elijah did to Elisha. It can be done. So is there any questions on tonight, anything anyone wants to ask before we get ready to close out of here? Amen. Well, Father, we just thank you for your holy word on tonight, Father. We thank you for everyone under the sound of my voice. Lord, I thank you for those that's in radio land, that's in attendance on tonight, those that was from Facebook that I invited. Lord, I thank you for them as well. In the name of Jesus, Lord, I ask you to cover each one of them, Father. Cover them, Lord, in the name of Jesus. Father, I'm asking you right now, to everyone that has to go, drive, or do anything tonight, Lord, to cover their cars and cover their families and the children and cover them, Lord, right now in the name of Jesus. I just want to encourage somebody on tonight. Be encouraged in the Lord on tonight, hallelujah, and give everything and put it in his hands. Give everything over to the Lord, even your feelings, emotions, your heart broken. Somebody's heart is broken on the line tonight in the name of Jesus. Just give it to God. God is going to mend your heart back in the name of Jesus. Lord, we just thank you. Lord, we praise you. We magnify your name on tonight. We ask all these things, Father, in Jesus' name and for your glory. Amen, amen, and praise the Lord. And I will see you all right back here Sunday at 4 o'clock, and 3 o'clock and 4 o'clock, by the grace of God, 4 Eastern and 3 Central. You all have a blessed night, and I love you. Have a blessed Sabbath. I love you all in God. Amen.